ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद भागवत फिफ्थ कैंटो फर्स्ट चैप्टर लास्ट वर्स 41st वर्स। भौमं दिव्यं मानुषं च महित्वं कर्मयोगजं यश्चक्रे निर्ययौपम्यं पुरुषानुजनप्रियः। भौमं दिव्यं मानुषं च एज अ ग्रेट फॉलोअर एंड डिवोटी of the sage Narad Muni, Maharaj Priyavrat considered hellish the opulences he had achieved by dint of fruitive activities and mystic power, whether in the lower or heavenly planetary systems or in human society. Purport: Srila Prabhupada has said that the position of a devotee is so super excellent that a devotee does not consider any material opulence worth having. There are different types of opulences on earth, in the heavenly planets, and even in the lower planetary system known as Patal. A devotee, however, knows that they are all material. And consequently, he is not at all interested in them. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Param Drishtva Nivartate. Sometimes yogis and gyanis voluntarily give up all material opulences to practice their system of liberation and taste spiritual bliss. However, they frequently fall down because artificial renunciation of material opulences cannot endure. One must have a superior taste in spiritual life, then he can give up material opulence. Maharaj Priyavrat had already tasted spiritual bliss, therefore he had no interest in any of the material achievements available in the lower, higher or middle planetary systems. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to the fifth canto, first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Activities of Maharaj Priyavrat. Poor and devotee of the sage Narad, Maharaj Priyavrat considered hellish the opulence he had achieved by dint of fruitive activities and mystic power, whether in the lower or heavenly planetary system or in human society. So, this marks the conclusion of this chapter on the activities of King Priyavrat. And it is so nice that the conclusion is based on renunciation. It is not based on how much he did or what his achievements were, but the fact that he was renounced. And it's interesting how it has been put up that he is Anuja, Purusha Anujana Priyaha. He was a great follower and devotee of the sage Narad Muni. If somebody is a real follower of a person, then he should imbibe the qualities of that person. Just like we are all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, trying to be Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we are followers of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So, if we are actually following Srila Prabhupada or the Goswamis of Vrindavan, then those qualities must become manifest in us. That is the difference between the Jatiya Parampara and the Vani Parampara. Recently, Sripad Radhanath Maharaj was in Belgaum, and one question was asked like this, that I am not getting so much association, personal association. So Maharaj was explaining that how actually our parampara is not the parampara of bodies, but it's a parampara of spirit or the parampara of Vani. So although Narad Muni is a sannyasi from the very beginning and Priyavrat is a great king, but Priyavrat, being a follower of Narad Muni, is exhibiting those qualities of renunciation. This is very important because as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explains, Vairagya Vidya Nijabhakti Yoga Shikshartham Eka Purusha Purana, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach bhakti, which is not simply some sentiment, but it is coupled with knowledge and renunciation. Renunciation means to not have any attachment to anything else other than the desire to please Krishna and serve Krishna. Just one desire, that how can I best please Krishna with the facilities which I have. Just be happy in pleasing Krishna. And no other desire. It is said specifically that whether in the heavenly planet or in the lower planetary systems, King Priyavrata did not desire anything. He was just happy, wanting to please Krishna. So this is the gradual aspiration of a devotee, to come to that level, whether in whatever ashram one is, the conclusion must come to what Priyavrata's conclusion is, that I give up, at a right time one is willing to give up everything. Like Maharaj Bharat is another example often cited. He was great king, he was practically the emperor of the world. But it is said that when he renounced, he gave it up just like one gives up stool, without any second thoughts. Actually, anything in this material world is actually a source of impediment. And even facilities, in one of the classes in the last few days, Maharaj was explaining how even facilities and position, one may accept with reluctantly if needed for Krishna's service. Because as long as we are not Paramahamsas, we become attached to the shell rather than the inner substance. The facility is actually like the shell, and the inner substance is the bhakti. And one has to break the shell and actually eat the nut inside. But we become attached to the shell, and that's why we suffer. And that's why there is problems actually. There is, Maharaj was so nicely explaining how Vaishnava quarrel means it's based on giving a higher position to other. That no, I am at fault, or you are better than me. But when we attach to the facility, or when we attach to the position, or anything other than just that attachment to serve Krishna, then that becomes a cause of suffering. And it's actually an impediment. The bhakti is really very, very, very sukshma, very subtle. We really don't know whether we are advancing or not. Of course, if we are under proper guidance, we are always advancing. At the same time, one has to be very, with a microscope, one has to check one's own heart, that what is the motivation, what is the things I am seeking. Because really, Krishna doesn't need anything from us. He can just create the whole world in less than a second and destroy it in less than a second, and can make the whole planet Krishna conscious in less than a microsecond, without any sound system, without any facility. Krishna can do anything, and he is doing. So really, even attachment to one's own preaching projects, seeing them as mine, seeing them as my result and my achievement, is actually, for us, it's like sand in the sweet rice. Or Maharaj gave a very nice example in Belgaum. I suggest many of you were not there to listen to those lectures. Very thought-provoking question-answer sessions. And Mother was explaining how one day in New Vrindavan, the devotees, they would get for breakfast or lunch malpua, very sweet preparation made in ghee. And devotees were very eager, and that was a very rare nice prasad they would get. And when it was served, everybody was very happily about to eat it. And when they started eating, their faces turned bitter, because the cook had put salt instead of sugar. So Maharaj explained in very detail how in devotional service also, devotional service is supposed to be very sweet, but when there is an element of pride or any material thing, then it becomes bitter. So one has to see whether, like Prabhupada gave often the example that when there is fever, if you are getting free from the fever, then there are certain symptoms, like the temperature should come down, appetite should increase. So similarly, when we are becoming free from the disease of material consciousness, then our fever of material desires should come down. We may not be exactly on the level of Yamunacharya, who says that, you know, when I think of sex, I spit at the thought. But at least there should be healthy distaste of sense gratification. At the same time, there should be a taste for chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And that's what Prabhupada is quoting here in the purport, that Param Drishtva Nivartate, that when one gets a higher taste, then he can think like this. Because Puyavrat Maharaj actually had the higher taste, so he could give it up very easily. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya tells this to Sanatana Goswami in one of the conversations in Varanasi. He says that there are some devotees who want material enjoyment and still want to serve Krishna. That is very nice. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes this verse, Akama Sarvakama Mukshakama. Whether one desires everything or anything, or whether he desires to merge into the Supreme Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Krishna, the Supreme Lord. But Krishna says, when the devotee wants Anya Kami Yadi Krishna Kore Bhajan, a person who is desiring material enjoyment, if he serves Krishna with that desire, Krishna, how does Krishna react? Krishna kahe ami bhaje mage vishay sukh. That this foolish person is serving me and is desiring sense gratification. Amrita chadi vish magi, ehi bada murkha. That this devotee is rejecting the nectar of my lotus feet and is desiring sense gratification. Ami vigya ehi murkha vishaya kena diva. And Krishna is thinking. Chaitanya Prabhu is revealing what Krishna is thinking. Ami vigya, I am vigya, I am knowledgeable, I am intelligent. And ehi murkha, this devotee is murkha, is not intelligent. Svacha vishaya kena diva. Why should I give him anything less than pure devotional service? Swacharanamrita diya vishaya bhulaiva. I give him the shelter, nectar of my lotus feet and make him forget sense gratification. This is the real mercy which Krishna shows to a devotee who is sincere. He actually gives him the shelter of his lotus feet. So Prabhupada actually elaborates in this purport that surrender means that one does not desire anything from the Supreme Lord. Yesterday we were hearing from Srila Prabhupada's lecture the story of Sanatana Goswami, the very famous story of Rupa Goswami making kheer for Sanatana Goswami at Ter Kadam. Maharaj often told the stories. Prabhupada elaborating on that how a devotee doesn't want to accept any service. His only desire is to please Krishna. And this is so rare. That's why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said that after all the Gaudiya Mats that have established, if I could make one pure devotee, then a mission would be successful. Because the weeds of devotional service, they become so prominent that even after one is hearing and chanting, one may not really understand unless one is always protected by superior guidance and one is actually at every moment he is crying out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. There has to be a conscious effort of cleansing the heart, of desiring just that I want to please Krishna, always trying to please Krishna. Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada quotes here, Rupa Goswami in the purport, the position of a devotee is so super excellent that a devotee does not consider any material opulence worth having. See, at our condition stage, we have to struggle to convince ourselves that I should not desire material things, I should desire devotional service. But on the other hand, for one who is advanced, for him there is no need to convince. Just like for a person who has no knowledge of what a rupee represents, for him you have to convince him that don't carry this big box of broken glass, but you can just carry one piece of, let's say, a thousand rupees, that's more valuable. But for one who doesn't know the value, he will think that this broken glass is more valuable, it's heavier. Similarly, at our condition stage, we have to be convinced that yes, material opulence is detestable, we have to give it up. But for a person who is advanced, he cannot stop thinking of Krishna. For a person who is advanced, he is happy to serve Krishna. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that, Tomara Sevate jaite dukh teite parama sukha. In one song, Atmanivedana Priyapade. My dear Lord, the difficulties and the miseries which I undergo in your devotional service, they are the greatest pleasure. So, it's actually a, for a devotee, even it's an austerity if at all he has to indulge in sense gratification. In like we hear the story of, I think it was which Acharya, Vishwanchal Thakur, who was told to go and associate with his wife for some time, and he went the night and he was just thinking of Krishna, talking of Krishna, and he came back. Then the thought doesn't arise because they are experiencing the higher taste. So Rupa Goswami gives another analogy of comparison of material pleasures and spiritual pleasure, which is very famous in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He compares the highest pleasure in this material world, heavenly planets or whatever, to be like a drop compared to the ocean of pleasure in Brahmananda, or in merging into the existence of the Lord. And then at the next step he compares that this highest pleasure of merging into the Lord is like a drop compared to the pleasure of a devotional service. And this pleasure is actually always increasing. Anandam Budhi Vardhanam. Because the nature of devotional service, it is non-different from Krishna. It is all attractive. Just like Krishna is all attractive, pure devotional service also all attractive. Actually, we are not tasting pure devotional service. We are in the conditioned stage. We are mixed. We are mixed devotees or trying to become purified. But one who becomes pure, as one becomes pure, Krishna reveals himself more and more. Like Rupa Goswami says that I do not know how much nectar is contained in these two syllables, Krishna. When I chant this name, I desire many millions of tongue. When I hear this name, I desire millions of ears. My senses become conquered. I become inert. So this is the realization. Because actually when one is chanting sincerely, or at least trying to chant sincerely, Krishna gradually reveals himself in the form of the name. And then it becomes what is a austerity, what is a struggle in the conditioned stage, that becomes joyful. That becomes joyful. Srila Prabhupada was once asked by Srila Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj that any particular instruction, one important instruction. Srila Prabhupada said that you have given many, many lives for serving Maya. Just give this one life for serving Krishna. And you will be joyful. You will be happy. Your life will become successful. So, we should pray. At our stage, we cannot sing like Rupa Goswami, that I do not know how much nectar there is. I desire to have many millions of tongues. That is a very high stage. We can aspire somewhere. But at least we can try to sing the song of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, where he sings, Kabe habe bolo sedi namar. When will that day be mine? Once Maharaj was explaining in one lecture that our japa should actually be prayerful. Because when will get time for prayer separately? Because our schedule is so tight and we have practical devotional service to do all throughout. That is also needed. Taking care of the body, taking care of all the responsibilities for devotees. But during our japa, or before or whenever we get time, one should actually pray when that day will be mine. Because everything is based on reciprocation of our desires. Like in the Bible it says that you knock and it shall be opened. So when we are chanting, it should be in the mood that when will that day be mine, O my Lord. Aparada guchi, shuddha name ruchi, kripa bale habbe ride sancha. When my offenses will cease, when will I offer all respects to others? It's very easy to offer respects to seniors and those who are in an authoritative position in devotional service. But to offer respects to anybody, devotee and also to non-devotee, that is explained by Bhakti Vinod Thakur in another song. Recently this one, some new printing has come of songs of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Sharanagati, Gitavali, and so there is one nice song where Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, Shri Krishna Kirtana Jadi Manas Tohar. It's his way of commentary on Trinadapi Sunichena. He says that if you want to chant the holy name constantly, he says, Parama Yatana Taha Labhya Adhikar. You have to endeavor like that. And in that song he says, Krishna Adhishtana Sarve Jive Jani. That knowing every person's heart to be an abode of Krishna, then you can offer respects to everybody. You know, it doesn't it doesn't matter to me whether somebody is advanced or not, whether somebody has fault or not, because why should I inhibit my process of advancement in devotional service in trying to find fault in others? Because even if it is there, I am not so powerful to cure it. So let me just see the good and make, for my own selfish interest of achieving the lotus feet of Krishna, let me just offer respects indiscriminately. Of course, we offer more respects to devotees and naturally advanced devotees, but one should be very generous in giving respect, because it doesn't cost anything. It really doesn't cost anything. It's money you can give limited to so many people, but respect you can give to everybody, because Krishna is in every atom. The more you respect, the more you get devotional service. So it's actually a matter of ego. It's just our ego doesn't permit to let Krishna's mercy flow in. You have to just smash this ego. Why should even if this person is junior, he has 1,000 faults, what does it matter? Krishna is there, and from the point of view of eternity, we are all same. It's just a matter of time that everybody will be in the spiritual world. And compared to eternity, this whole material existence is like a bubble. So in the moment of a bubble, somebody committed 10 million offenses, somebody had broke principles 1 crore times. For me, it doesn't matter. It's Krishna and that devotee. For me, everybody is worshipable, because I am very greedy for chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Recently in the Vrindavan Yatra, Shri Pad Radhanath Maharaj took us to Ram Ghat, and there he was explaining the story of Balaram, how Balaram was intoxicated, transcendental Varuni, and he wanted Yamuna to come, and Yamuna was not coming, and with the plow he made Yamuna into hundreds of streams. And then as a continuation of that lecture, he was explaining the glories of Nityananda Prabhu, how he is intoxicated with the nectar of the holy name, and he is distributing that holy name. In the conclusion of that lecture, as many of you remember, he was saying that we have to do anything to get this taste for the holy name. It really doesn't matter what we have to do, because what we have to gain or what we have to lose, this whole material existence is a phantasmagoria. It's nothing, it's just a dream. It's like in a dream somebody is praising you, in a dream somebody is swallowing you, in a dream somebody is giving you high post, somebody is putting you in a worm as a stool. Krishna, this whole material existence is a big dream. Nama bina kishu nahi ko or. The only real thing is the holy name. So, Maharaj is explaining that one should be willing to do anything to get that taste. You have to be sold out to the holy name. Yes, I don't want anything. I care a fig for this world, what anybody thinks about me. I don't care anything for heavenly planets. Because from the absolute point of view, it's really not different. It's just an illusion. Just an illusion. So when one tries to cultivate that taste, the taste for hearing about Krishna, the taste for chanting about Krishna, then he can come to that realization like Priyavrat. Whether in Priyavrat was a grahastha and so many responsibilities, but at the end he could just give up everything. And similarly Bharat Maharaj or Pandavas, they had so many things of this world, but when the appropriate time came, they were just detached. Totally detached. There's one saint from the Sufi Sampradaya who gave an example. Somebody asked him how one should cultivate love for God. And he was actually planting. Like in plantation, sometimes you have to take a plant which has grown for some time and take it out from one place and put it in another. So he was explaining to this person, just see what I'm doing and do that. He's taking from one place, putting it another. So explain that you detach yourself from Krishna, from material existence, and attach to Krishna. Like that. This is our whole philosophy. Nirbande Krishna Sambandhe. Yukta Vairagya Uchyate. Prabhupada, he gives another analogy which can help us to develop some detachment, which is quoted by Raghunath in the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Raghunath Das Goswami. When Raghunath Das Goswami gave up his such opulence, everything for the service of the Lord, Tekva, Turunam, Ashesha, Mandalapati, everything he gave up, and he joined the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, he compared, jokingly, he said about his uncle and father, he said that this material enjoyment is like a pit where people go to pass stool. And he was jokingly, lovingly calling his father and uncle like worms in the stool. So this is a very good example for all of us in all ashrams, that we have material enjoyment, whether gross or subtle. If we know that this is like stool, at least we'll know that we have to come out. And Srila Prabhupada often gives the example of happiness and distress as wet stool and dry stool. It's really not very important what kind of stool one is around. And for the hog it may make a lot of difference. But for a person who is advanced in consciousness, he sees everything. Actually, when somebody praises you, it's like wet stool. Somebody insults you, it's like dry stool. But I don't think there's much difference. So one should cultivate that feeling that for me, everything except the lotus feet of Krishna, compared to the nectar of serving Krishna, everything is abominable. Even one second, if I'm forgetting Krishna, it is worse than hell. And if I can remember Krishna in hell, then that is Vaikuntha. Narayana para sarve na kutashana bibhyati swarga pavarga narakeshu apitulyatashya. For one who has taken shelter of Narayana or Krishna, for him whether heavenly planets, naraka, hellish planets or liberation, it really doesn't matter. There is a famous story in Australia when devotees were arrested for no reason other than chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And when devotees were in jail and Srila Prabhupada was approached that we do not have money to fight the court case, devotees are in jail, what should do? Prabhupada explained, there is no need to come out of the jail. He said, what difference is there? We just chant Hare Krishna in the jail. So, that was Prabhupada's vision. And once in a morning walk also, devotees were taking Prabhupada around, and in one place there was some dirt or some uncleanness and devotees were apologizing. So Prabhupada said that if you had the eyes to see, you would see it as Vaikuntha. In one sense, when we hear that very famous incident which Janaki Mataji told Radhanath Maharaj, and he narrated it, how Prabhupada came and he came to the lowest area in Bauri, and he had no place, and he was given some place somewhere, some different places. In one sense, we see that for Prabhupada, how much austerity he took to help others become Krishna conscious. But another sense, if you see, it's not austerity, because for one who sees Krishna everywhere, in everything, he is in Vaikuntha, he is not affected by anything. For him, it's not different. Sthavar jangam dekhe, na dekhe tara murti, sarvatra hai ishta deva sphurti. Ramananda Raya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this conversation, this sloka appears, that for one who is advanced in Krishna consciousness, he doesn't see anything moving or non-moving. He sees his Ishtadev, Radha and Krishna everywhere. Because Srila Prabhupada was on that level, so for him there is no difference. There is also one example which Prabhupada quotes, how a non-devotee cannot do like this. Prabhupada writes in the purport here that sometimes yogis and jnanis, they give up material opulences and because they do not have spiritual taste, their renunciation cannot endure. And in this connection, Prabhupada once gives the example of a national leader in India, C.R. Das, who was a lawyer in the early 20th century. And he was told by the Congress that you should should give up your profession for some time as a mark of protest against the British government. And he was told that you will be given some money, without working. And that was 125 rupees per month in those days, which was more than 12,000 in today's date, I'm sure, right? At least 100 times. This is the story of about 100 years back. So Prabhupada explains that actually he committed suicide. He couldn't give up. He couldn't give up that particular sense enjoyment level which he was accustomed to. On the other hand, Rupa and Sanatan, they were accustomed to living in palaces in Ramkeli, with Nawab Hussain Shah. But they willingly gave up. They didn't even feel any hesitation. Tektvaturunam ashesha mandalapati shrenim sadatuchyavat. They were pure. Because why? Gopi bhava rasamrita dulara. They were always absorbed in the ecstatic loving exchanges of the gopis with Krishna. So, this is the essence, param drishtva nivartate. One can on an intellectual level, come to a certain understanding and cultivate detachment, one can practice celibacy, or one can practice controlling of the senses, or one can, you know, live very simply. But that will not endure for long until one has a higher taste. That's why it is explained about the jnanis. Because they don't taste the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, patanti adaha, they again fall down to material welfare work. So one has to make a conscious effort along with intellectual understanding to really dive deep into the nectar of the ocean of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It should be the prayer of every devotee to Krishna that Krishna, please, whatever it takes, please break my false ego, smash my false ego into pieces, because that is what is preventing me from tasting the nectar of the holy name. That just like the gopis, they were when it was time for joining Krishna, they gave up all their worldly duties. Similarly, when one is taking shelter of the holy name is non-different from the flute of Krishna. So actually all the opulences, sweetness of Krishna are in the sound of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna who is giving this Mahamantra. But our ego is like so many encumbrances and like attachments which are preventing us from joining Krishna's flute, Krishna's rasa dance. We should pray very sincerely, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kabhi habi bolo se dinamar, or like in that beautiful lecture on Saturday, when I was explaining that Guru Dev Kripa Bindu Diya Koroi Dase. It should be our conscious prayer. Not sometimes we sing bhajans because we like the tune and that's very nice, better than singing anything else. But a conscious effort to dive into the meanings of the songs of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, that can actually reveal the treasure of the holy name. Because he is through their writings. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not a conditioned soul. He is a Paramahamsa liberated person. But by his writing like this, he is explaining to us what we should be praying for. We should actually be praying that, please, O Lord Gopinath, please hear my prayer. Vishayi Durjana Sada Kamara. Once a devotee asked this question, that's in one sense it is said that one can control the senses through the process of intellectual understanding that I am not this body, this is temporary, yehi sanspasaja bhoga dukha yonai, but it is a source of misery. But the great acharya like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that I am a slave of my senses, take shelter of Krishna. The first step is actually of a neophyte who is using his intelligence to some degree to control, but that's not the end, that cannot last forever. Ultimately, you have to cry like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Actually, manaye pagalamura, my mind is mad. I cannot control. When Brahma and Shiva are bewildered, I am a fig compared to them. I am nothing. So he has to feel like that. Yes. Niyata charana sthana mage pamara kandiya kandi. I fall at your feet, O Gopinath. I fall. And Gopinath is Krishna, his holy name. So we should, while chanting every mantra, we should be falling at the feet of Gauranga Nityananda. And crying out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. All of you bless me that I can chant feelingly and cry out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments? I will repeat what Maharaj said. Radheshyam Prabhu asked this question many years back to Maharaj. that I am thinking of services while chanting. So Maharaj said that it's better than thinking of sense gratification. Then he gave the example of doing an offering to the Lord with one hand and eating prasad with the other hand. Like eating prasad is also an act of devotional service. But can you imagine a devotee who is eating laddu in the left hand and offering arti in the right? So it is something like that. You see, one thing you should know is that everything is done by Krishna. It's just for our engagement that Krishna is making, whether it's college preaching or whether it's cleaning the toilet. It's actually everything is done by Krishna. Prakriti kriyamanani gunaka. We are simply puppets. So it really is not going to affect the result if we think about it or not. It's not that thinking about it during chanting will improve the service. It's just an attachment we have. So one should actually be praying to Krishna that let me just chant. And the taste comes actually by the mercy of Sri Guru. It's actually the mercy. We must cultivate, we must pray. But the result of that prayer is purely mercy. So even if one gets taste, one should not be proud. And if one doesn't get taste, one should be begging more and more. So even if you have to beg 1 million lifetimes, what is the harm? Because anyway, it's not worth begging from Maya. He kicks on your face. Lifetime after lifetime, you know. Kick, kick, kick. And still, oh, my dear, but kick. And then, oh, it goes on. So better we fall at Krishna's feet, even if he doesn't look at us, rather than go to Maya. It's not, I'm also like you struggling. It's just that we have to intensify that struggle. See, the real thing is this. All the preaching we do is basically advertising people to come and take shelter of the holy name. That's the whole thing. Whether you are doing Namwat or college or, you know, festivals or... The whole aim is take shelter of the holy name. But ultimately, if you cannot take full shelter of the holy name, then you cannot induce others to take full shelter. To the degree you take shelter, to that degree you can induce others. Because that's... Bhakti is actually a process of transmission of the mercy of the previous acharyas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if there's Govinda Prabhu once told me that Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, what is the qualification of a preacher? Explain. That the preacher means not necessarily an eloquent speaker or one who is knowledgeable in Shastra. That so many people do. But one who is trying to cultivate taste for the holy name, he is actually a true preacher. Is that correct, Prabhu? Yeah. Huh? Somewhat. Exactly you want to say? What else? More pointers. One who is? He said that one who is a Bhajanandi is a true preacher. Like I heard from Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur or from devotee, he says that a Bhajanandi who likes to preach is the best combination. Privately you should have bhajan, because if you don't have bhajan, what can you give? You see, the substance is the bhajan. Bhajan means the holy name then. That's the thing. Therefore, our acharyas like Rupa Goswami, others, they wrote books, but they had themselves. I was wondering recently when we went to Radha Shyamsundar temple, one of the local pujaris, he took some devotees down to the cave where Shyamananda Goswami would perform his bhajan. I was wondering, that time it was whole of forest, and still he had to go inside the cave. Or is there. Once I went to Lohavan, Lohavan near Madhuvan, there is one cave of another great, one of our sixth Goswamis. I was going with on Brijabasi and he had to slide down. And after some time he started asking money I didn't have, so I had to come out, you know. It's a very deep cave. And even in Sanket also, Gopal Bhatt Goswami had his cave. So why they would do like this is not, you know, because the weather is better or anything. It's because they wanted to concentrate on the holy name. And during his last days, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually covered himself in by just concentrating on the holy name. So I have seen example of many devotees, Maharaj also, that whatever, how many responsibilities all over the world, but during the chanting of the holy name, everything is secondary. Because actually, it's foolishness to think of anything, because you can't really do anything about at that time anyway. So if I chant properly, I'll get better intelligence. Like Maharaj was explaining that, after the lecture, he said, we'll have a little kirtan, and if somebody has questions, you can think of questions, and by chanting, I will get the answers, you know, in Khar program. You know. Because actually, chanting has got all answers. You see, even if you have not prepared your things to do, whatever, if you chant properly, everything will come in order. Because it will come the way Krishna wants. And that's the order. You know. Things always go the way Krishna wants, so why should I? You like to add something going through? Hare Krishna. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Harinam Prabhu ki jai.